All right, peace and Black Power family. This is Brother Gaddafi with another episode. This is episode 2. This episode is titled The Blueprint to Destroy the Black Man, African-American Man. I'm going to talk about this is straight from research, studying, books that I've read, articles that I've read, as well as personal gain, a personal experience that I encountered in my life, my adulthood. So if you guys have any concerns or any topics you want me to discuss, I know I mentioned in the first episode I'll be talking about two holidays and the origins and stuff like that, but I'll say that for another time. This is an educational radio podcast show, so our podcast radio show. So, you know, any negativity is now welcome on my channel here. So this is just for educational purposes too, and this is to help encourage my Black people. So the blueprint to destroy the African-American man, and also known as, you know, modern day slavery, to mentally enslave the African-American man. So if you guys want to know one book I will recommend as a Black man, who as a must read, if you don't read any other book, these two books, I should say, y'all should read The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander, and The Destruction of the Black Civilization by Chancellor Williams. So those are the two books as a Black man you should read. Anybody Black should read those books, but predominantly pertaining to Black men, my brothers, stand up and read them books. Don't read the NBA highlights. Don't read, you know, these comic books that's out here, you know what I'm saying? If you want something that you want to retain for a long time and something that you want to pass down to your kids, these books is what you should read. Out of the many books I recommend, but these two are, you know, for starters. So the blueprint to destroy the African-American man and the man in Black, and the Black man here in America, kind of goes back to the fact of the 60s. It starts off in around the 50s and the 60s, where the man could run a household with just him working, with the mother staying home to take care of the children. You didn't need a diploma. You didn't need a degree. Didn't need a certificate. All you had to do was, you know, you didn't need a certificate to be skilled and gifted with your hands. So what happens? Around the, later on, they start to saying that you need a certificate, you need a diploma, you need this piece of paper to show that you are, to tell us that you are skilled with your hands. So what happens? You see a lot of, I heard a lot of stories working in factories as far as, you know, them going from super BMA supervisor to these new employees coming in with no other experience, no manufacturing experience, no hands-on experience previously, but because they had a piece of paper to show them that they were skilled. Those people who had that hands-on manual labor experience got booted down, and these other people got booted up. So what happens? They start raising, you know, you needed a diploma and a certificate to raise these, to have these skills to raise and provide your family. So what happens? Around the 70s and 80s, crack cocaine breakout epidemic comes out. Well, now, you know, now this crack cocaine is being developed. Now what happens? The stress of being unemployed and the stress of not being able to bring home the quote unquote bacon for my family, not being able to be that man, that provider, that protector of my family. I got to find, there's two ways I can relieve the stress. I can go sell this crack. I can go sell these drugs to make a little bit extra money on the side, or I could smoke it. Either way, I'm going to jail. So guess what? You go to jail. So let's pause on the man being incarcerated right now. Let's focus on what's going on at home. So now the woman is stuck trying to figure out, well, what can I do to still keep a roof under my head, over my, me and my kids' heads? So what happens? They get assistance from the government, getting food stamps, Section 8, WIC, all this stuff so the white government can take control and put you under a magnifying glass and tell you what you should and shouldn't, and who you cannot have inside your house. You can't have this as if your man pays that, but your man is in prison. He's incarcerated. So guess what? Your children is now growing up in a fatherless household. Meanwhile, bringing it back to the man, he's incarcerated. He has a felony on his record now. He's doing so many 5, 10, 15 years. He gets out. While he's incarcerated. Now, he's not the only brother. The prison population is 42 to 46, I believe, almost 50% African-American. The juvenile system, I think 52% African-American. And the majority of that, almost 50%, are in for crimes that are non-violent, that they didn't even do. Some are falsely accused. That's the minds. That's how they try to get you. You know how many brothers fit descriptions of different brothers? Anybody can be black. Anybody can wear a t-shirt, baggy pants, have cornrows, short hair, buzz cut, afro. When you say afro, you know what I'm saying? You done described just about 60% of African-American men out here. You say white t-shirt, 40%. You say loose baggy pants, 45%. Jordan, you know what I'm saying? What, you know? So a lot of them are in for crimes that they aren't in. So now they're stuck doing a certain amount of years in prison. God forbid you do life in prison. But, I mean, hey, it is what it is in this jacked up justice system. And therefore, a crime you didn't commit. So anyway, so tallying back to that, to the man being incarcerated for trying to provide for his family. He in there for 15 years. He gets out. Guess what? He has a felony on his record. Guess what else? When you're a felony, the odd job, the possibility of you getting approved for a job goes way down. Calls and getting accepted once they do that background check, and you no longer can find a job because you have that felony on your record. So that job that you once had to provide for the household, you can't even get because, hey, you got a felony on your record. Now, pertaining back to you coming back to your household, now mind you, you just got out of prison for drugs, whether you used it or sold it, right? Your spouse or baby mother is at home, but she had to get assistance from the government. Guess what? You a felon. She on Section 8. You can't be in there, bro. So you can't even be in the same house as your children. Because technically, she needs that because you can't find a job because of your felony that you have on your record. So she needs that assistance from that white government to provide for them kids. She has to be looked under a microscope. But guess what? People, caseworkers, all that kind of stuff, they pop up at your house. They pop up at the house to make sure you're following procedures, guidelines. You know what I'm saying? You getting help from the government, you gotta follow a certain amount of rules. And one of them is a felon can't be accepted into that household. So now you a felon. You got a record. You can't be in the house with your children. But you won't have a job because you a felon. So what can you do? You got to follow the same, you got to fall into the same exact trap you told yourself you was going to get out of, but you can't because you got to pay, you got to find a way to provide for yourself. Now, if she's getting help from the government, you got to pay child support. So there's two ways to it, man. You can either go sell some drugs, but guess what? You're not getting properly paid by the state, or you know, your IRS ain't taking their cut out. So you're not getting a legal paycheck. You're just getting money. So how can you find a job? You got to settle for an odd job so you can pay that child support. Otherwise, she gets her benefits off. And guess what? If she can't afford to get them benefits, she need that food. She need that assistance because you still can't find a job. So you finally do find one that's legal. Guess what? Child support is taking 50 to 75% of that check. You can't live off of 75% out of your check being taken because you are a felon. You can only get what you can get. So you still got to do something on the side before to provide for yourself so you can leave or live. I mean, so you can live. So now what? You got child support on your back now, because if you miss so many payments, guess what? You're going right back into jail. Crack, you get caught again. Mind you, you might got out a little early, so you're on parole. You got so many years to be on parole. Guess what? Parole officers, they get a check for locking your ass back up. Real talk. So now they pop up on the most inconvenient time. Depending on what it is, you can't be doing no drugs, you can't drink no alcohol. Depending on what it is, I'm assuming, you know, you basically need the permission to slip to live outside of prison. So you still stuck in prison because now, you know, you institutionalized now. You still got to provide a living. You still got to take care of your children. That little odd job that you have that you just barely getting paid ain't enough. So now that household is split. So guess what? You have a son. You have a daughter. That daughter grows up not knowing who, you know, knowing that his father was once in the household, but not trying to, you know, stay out of prison as best as he can. That boy grows up fatherless, not knowing what it's like to be a man. All he sees is his mother struggling. Possibility of anger towards his father. He falls in the same path. Possibly might fall into the same category, selling drugs, be out in the streets, because for one, he's only barely getting disciplined by his mother. He doesn't have that father figure in his life. So now that stigma, that label of a deadbeat father is on that man's head, because now he still has to provide a living. That boy grows up, falls into the same cycle. Getting labeled as a delinquent, saying that this child needs this child has ADD, ADHD, getting medicated. Getting heavily medicated, you take Concerta, Valium, Ritalin, makes you walk around like a mindless zombie. I've been there. My experiences, I have been there. I was diagnosed, with ADHD, ADD. I was medicated. Guess what? It does not make you yourself. Makes you walk around like a mindless zombie. Doesn't make you know. Makes you lose your appetite. Makes you not you no more. You not you no more. You what they want you to be. They saying that, you know, you have a hard time focusing. But in all actuality, they have a hard time focusing on you, because their focus is everywhere else but you. So you feeling a little left out because your mom has to do this to provide a living over your head, not on her will, but because that's all she can do, because that's literally how they get the black community, as the dominant. You know what I'm saying? With Section 8, all that kind of stuff is mainly used by African American women, black women. Because it's a single family household is so high in that community, in our community. Because guess what? The man has been psychologically induced to think that they have to file things the illegal way to provide, because that little bitty idea that they once had, they couldn't get no more. So now they're in that mindset. They're in slavery. They're in slavery because they got to pay them dues of the crimes they committed. But they felons, making 10 cents, 20 cents, and I believe an hour. They learning new skill trades and stuff like that. They learn skill trades. They will educate you in prison. But guess what? How can you use it? Yeah, you can go back to school, but you still have a felony on your record. And depending on what the crime was, you might not be, it might be a chilly day in you know where before it might be a snowy day in Africa before you know you can get a job. So all that skill training, all them studying on them books you be reading, you're a felon. You are a felon. And depending on what assistant she's your baby mother or the mother of your children, I'm gonna say that, the mother of your children is getting assistance from with the government, will determine whether or not you can set foot in that household. Now, like I said, I just mentioned Section 8. When you have Section 8, you can't allow any felons in your house. That's a rule right there. Your house has to be up to par. There's rules and regulations that you have to keep that house, or whatever the case you may live in. That house that you're only paying a certain amount of money for, that Medicaid that you're using, you know what I'm saying? It's helpful for the children, but then again, you know what I'm saying? Medicaid only goes so far. Medicaid only goes so far when it comes to, you know, who sees, you know what I'm saying? Like, you won't be able to take your children to the best dentist like that. Only so much will help. You know what I'm saying? You got to make sure you're getting child support money. Well, not even that, because even you might only, yo, the father of your children may be paying $500 a month, but you probably only see $60 of that money. That rest of that money is going to, if you heard that noise, that was me. I dropped my stuff, but sorry. But the rest of that money is going to them, the caseworker, the one that is getting that's really getting paid off of you putting him on child support. Not because you wanted to, but because you had to. So you was forced to make this man, you know, to force to take money out of this man's wallet because the government is basically putting you under a magnifying glass saying, I will give you this, but you got to do this. You can, in order to for me to pay for this, you can't have no stable household no more. There is no happy dream picket fence in your life no more. Your soul belongs to me. You belong to me. The father of your children belongs to me. I'm making his life a living hell and making the and making it a fatherless household in your house because of the actions that I set. Because for one, he has to go get a diploma and degree. School's not for everybody. I will be honest with that. You know what I'm saying? I went to college. I loved college, but not school isn't for everybody. Not everybody has that, but they make it to where if you want to live that six-figure life, unless you're an entrepreneur, which in some cases you have to go to college for entrepreneurship. They make it to where you have to, and then you're now in your X amount of years in debt trying to pay off that. So yeah. So how was I just I and I just mentioned that the ADD and ADHD pertain to my life because I was that kid, you know what I'm saying? Where teachers would be like, he has a hard time focusing, he has ADHD, go get him tested. My mom got me tested, said, oh well, he does this and that and that and that and this. So now I get him medicated. Me being medicated as a kid, I remember like it was yesterday. It felt like no matter how bad you wanted to, you honestly just couldn't be yourself. You couldn't, like, I have a big sense of humor. I like to play a lot. But on that, it just felt like I just didn't want to do anything. I wasn't myself and I could feel it. Well, you could honestly feel yourself not being yourself. It's just like, man, like, I don't feel like doing this. You dread the day because you don't feel like doing anything. another thing. Now, I mentioned being incarcerated is like the modern day slavery. Well, to learn more about that, I encourage you guys, like I mentioned earlier in the episode, read The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander. That book tells a lot. And I'm actually going to do a book review and actually talk about more and go in depth with that book, as well as some other books I have, you know, to kind of educate and why it's important to read those books, apply it to your life, and understand it, you know, have it in your subconscious that, you know, well, dang, I grew up thinking this, but in all actuality, it's really this. See, what you see behind closed doors and what these schools show you ain't really what they seem, or really what is the truth. You know what I'm saying? But that's the abolishment of slavery by Abraham Lincoln. I'm just gonna leave it at this. It wasn't. Let's abolish slavery. Being slave is horrible. Nah, it wasn't like that. I'm just gonna leave it at that. So, my experience with slavery. My version of modern day slavery. I'm not going to put the company's name out there, but I was working for this factory about 3.5 years ago. Started working about 3.5 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. In this company, you know, like I said, I worked at a factory, so there's machines and all that kind of stuff. Part of the procedure and running these machines is you have to make rate. So depending on how many parts you have to, you know, you put out per hour, you have a certain number that you have to meet. And, you know, with that number, it either have to be in green, blue, or red. Blue indicating that you're over. Green shows that you're on target. And red, that you're below. And I remember at this machine, I remember it was hot because in the summertime, it gets hot. In the wintertime, it gets really cold. This particular time, it was summertime, so it was really, really hot. I was running this machine. I remember about 6 or 7 white guys in upper management. Mind you, they dressed and really nice, really professional, and they had clipboards, and they all had this, like, this scowl on their look, like, it's not good enough. He's not working fast enough. They're whispering, they're talking amongst each other. I don't even know what they're saying. I'm looking at them, trying to figure out what's going on. So I try to, you know, acknowledge the fact that they're there, like, I can see y'all, so hi, I try to wait, you know. No response back. They're just looking at the machine, just standing there, putting their hands on their hips, looking at their clipboard, and then they walk off. So not one time, so there, it was kind of like, well, dang, it's kind of like, are you happy, master? I was working hard for you. Hard work wasn't acknowledged. Fast forward. You know, it was a new position I had. I just got promoted. Everybody was proud. Like, man, you was only here for all this. And you, I remember you was this, this, and that. You just got promoted to that. Problem was I moved too fast for them white folk. They didn't like that. So a change and an increase in pay, what I felt was suitable for my family, was taken away from me when these old redneck crackers who thought that I was taking a job while I was too young, I was too black to do what they did because all I wanted to do was talking about hunting and fishing and whatever they call and whatever they was older than me. I'm in my 20s, you know what I'm saying? I'm in my early 20s. I had plans to get married, all that kind of stuff that year. And it was all taken out from under me. Right then and there. And I got demoted, transferred, and everything. Took a pay cut. I have not felt so humiliated at that time, being a young black male, and all it took was envy, hatred, and prejudice. Those three thoughts forced me out of a department. Did everything that I was asked to, and not if not more, and still wasn't enough. So I bent over backwards and went from a house, from a field nigga, to a house nigga, a house Negro. For those who haven't heard the speech from the field Negro and the house Negro by Malcolm X, I highly recommend you guys listen to it, because that's exactly how I felt. I felt that my work was being wasn't underappreciated, you know, and the fact that I was a young black brother who was never late and did everything I could, it was kind of like, well, hey, since he's in his probationary period, why don't we just say this? He's not moving fast enough. He's not doing this. He's not doing that. He's not going to catch on. So that's going to play effect to him. To the point where I was told that they was building a new machine, and I was told that I was going to run that machine. So every day, every week, I was excited, thinking that, yes, I'm finally going to run a machine again. That wasn't the case, you know. So that's when I realized that, man, it's time for a change. And that same year, you know, I changed different aspects, but that's when I started saying, man, I need to learn how to run my own company. I need to learn how to do something. Dipping the data with fitness, that real estate, all that kind of stuff, it didn't matter. I wanted to do something. And I don't care how long it takes, but I'm going to find something to work for myself and not for the white man, because I'm going to be my own boss, and I'm going to encourage my kids to be their own bosses. If I can't do it, I'm going to instill in them that, hey, they do it. Because when you're your own boss, can't nobody tell you anything. See, people get scared. Well, that's how, like, they deal with the Black Wall Street. They got intimidated. So what they do, they blew it up. They seen that these guys, you know, they seen a bunch of intelligent black folk, and they say, oh, well, that ain't right. They living good. Nah, we can't have that. They know too much. They getting too smart. They getting too independent. They gonna turn against us. So guess what? They blew it up. So the blueprint to destroy the black man, or the black race, is once they get too comfortable, they, like, right now they're kind of comfortable, but once they start to, you know, like, yeah, we ain't being racist, we ain't gonna be too prejudiced, we'll let them do this, we'll let them do that, but a minute we start catching on and be like, nah, man, because when we think that, because it's kind of like when you work in a situation, you know, in a corporate, and that corporate is prejudiced, when they're comfortable, they'll let you get a promotion. They'll let you do this. They'll make it seem like you're doing your job and you're doing it efficiently. But once you get to a moment where you start having too much power, they need a fall guy. So it's either you're going to be a fall guy and a yes man, or you're going to be a dead man. What I mean by dead man, I don't mean like they're going to end your life. I mean they're going to end your career, end your job, fire you. So, and once you are that fall guy, you take the fall and you get out. Nah. When they can't take advantage of you, they put a stereotype on you. And depending on what type of mindset you got to have a weak mindset to where you fall victim of those stereotypes, and you allow them to get into your head to where you be like, man, I got to prove these people wrong, so I'll just do whatever they ask me to. So now they psychologically and mentally disabling you right now. They're destroying you because they're saying, if we keep throwing these insults and stereotypes at them, in his mind, he thinks he's rising above those stereotypes, but in all actuality, he's falling right into our trap. And eventually, you succumb to that, and you start to get brainwashed from the fact of you're getting programmed by these white folks, you're following their guidelines, rules, and regulations. You're not acknowledging the fact that what you had to go through to get to that step, and you're thinking that, oh, these white folk is good white folk. Now, am I racist? No, I'm not racist. I'm just sick of the mindset that we've developed for ourselves, thinking that, you know, everything that glitters is gold, and everything that glitters is not gold. And I'm 26, almost 27, and I'm young, I'm real young, and I see it now. I'm not 50 years old, 40 years old. You know what I'm saying? Well, dang, man, I wish I would have knew that in my 20s. I have the luxury to know that now that I'm young. Do I wish I would have known that when I was a little younger? Of course I do. But hey, who cares? So my advice, and that's to educate you guys of this justice system is not for us. This justice system is meant to incriminate us, decimate us, racially profile us, put us in a category as zoo animals, savages, put us in bar, like, you know, in a category, and categorize us as barbaric and barbarism. But really, the barbarism is coming from the ones that's supposed to be the ones to serve and protect us. So, I understand the statistics to throw, you know, that are the black man is the most has the most percentage of the of population in incarceration. I understand that segregation, when segregation hit, the new when the Jim Crow law, was once they abolished slavery, the Jim Crow law came to where it's like, okay, well, for one, just because y'all not our slaves no more don't mean y'all gonna work for us or work with us. So y'all can work for us, but y'all not working with us. And if y'all do want to work and all that kind of stuff, y'all gotta enter the another way. Y'all not working with us. Y'all gotta go to a whole nother exit. Y'all gotta go to a whole nother entrance. Y'all want to see a movie? Y'all gotta go to the back entrance. Y'all cannot go into the front entrance. Y'all going to the side entrance. Y'all going to the back door. Y'all want to get on the bus? Y'all can get on the bus. But guess what? Y'all sitting in the back. You want a water fountain? Okay, you can just get a drink of water. But guess what? There's good water fountains for us. You can get that nasty old brown mess over there on that water fountain. You take that one. So, you know what I'm saying? So you got to understand, like, this country always wanted, you know, we was here, but once changes and the culture changed, it was like, well, all right. Even now, you see black folks, we getting promotions. You know what I'm saying? We own our businesses, but guess what? They're not happy about it. They're not happy about those promotions. They're not happy about the fact that we're starting to embrace us now. So what they do, they try to crack down codes and regular rules and guidelines to show to tell us what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. Our natural hair. For our young queens out there, they got it to where you can't rock an afro. It's not presentable. It's not professional enough. It's not professional looking. That's our natural hair. You let these white girls wear their natural hair, and all they do is take a shower and comb it. We take a shower too when we comb it. We pick our hair out. We can comb our hair too. You see a brother, we're driving a nice car. The cop pulls you over. Where you coming from? They ask a whole bunch of questions. And for my brothers out there and sisters out there, you driving a car legally, you do not have to talk to the police. Remember that. Hand them your legal license and your legal registration and your proof of legal insurance. Crack your window just enough. Hand it to them. If they honestly have if your tail light and your headlight work. And you did all the, and you put your turning signal on, and then the cop just pulls you over just because he was having a bad day and want to see how far he can get. You turn your cell phone camera on. You hand your credentials to that cop. I ain't trying to ask you stuff. I don't answer questions to keep, you know what I'm saying? Hand him your stuff and just keep it at that. Keep your doors locked and put your hand on the steering wheel. Do not reach for nothing. Don't give them any ammunition that you can to end your life. Because like I said, this is a blueprint to destroy and decimate the black communities and to destroy the African-American man. And with that being said, peace and black power. Stay strong. Stay mighty. Be black. Be proud to be black. Educate our young kings and our young queens out here. Teach these young queens to respect themselves and to stand high and mighty. And don't settle for anything less than royalty. Treat our young kings out here to acknowledge that the fact that they do come from royalty, teach them to be strong, Teach them to be bold, teach them to be brave, courageous, teach them to respect our queens. And you'd be surprised where that takes you guys. Cause we are raising the, this is a long race out here. We got a lot of catching up to do. We need to educate ourselves. We need to stay conscious. And we need to stop falling for these white man traditions and start following our ancient root, ancient ancestors traditions. And we need to follow our old philosophies instead of these European ancient Greek philosophies. Because all these ancient Greeks are all about pedophilia, homosexuality, all that kind of stuff. Sacrificial rituals, all that. So, like I said, peace and black power. I will see y'all in the next episode.